community radio at its best. That's CKUW 95.9 FM downtown Winnipeg.
You're listening to Sister Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your mind.
Hello and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. My name is Mary, I am the Outreach Coordinator here at Voices, and today I am joined with Maiva, our practicum student, and Daniel, our program coordinator. So as always, we're going to start with an icebreaker, and the question for today is, what is one good thing and one bad thing that happened to you this week?
Well, the best thing happens for me this week was most of the skating trail is opened. Red River is opened, the Forks is opened, and this year there's a trail next to my home community center. Ooh. So it is super awesome. I have so much fun like practicing my skating skills. And bad thing, I guess, I tripped on the ice when I'm just standing. It is embarrassing.
On that new trail by your place?
Yeah. It hurt my ego.
Yeah. You'll get used to it.
Oh, we never get used to embarrassment.
I'd say the good thing that happened to me this week, actually on January 1st, my nephew was born, which Ooh. Was crazy. So that was really good news to hear. He came a week early, so that was really unexpected, but it was great news. Something bad that happened to me this week. I can't really think of something.
Get back to work.
Yeah, no.
Just joking. We love our work.
I'd say something bad that happened to me this week. I actually, at the same time that I learned that my nephew was born, I was at the urgent care of my sister just because she was having some health issues. She's okay. Mm. But it was really weird because it was literally the same day. So, yeah.
Aww. Well, I mean, what a day for your nephew to be born. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I hope that your sister is doing well and in good shape.
Yes.
I'm going to start with the bad thing that happened to me.
Let me guess. You missed your gym day.
No, in fact, I would say I didn't really miss any gym days.
That's good. Unbelievable.
But it's the new year, so I mean, I've probably only gone once so far in the new year. But the bad thing was I ran a red light by accident. It was slippery. Yeah. It had just turned red, and then you see the flash.
Yeah, that's scary.
The light, and I'm like, oh, shoot. So that was one bad thing.
Was
that
there
happened.
A light, like a camera?
Yeah, there was the camera flash. That's what happened.
Oh,
it's hard.
It's hard driving out there on these streets. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, be careful, guys, on the road.
But one good thing this week, I mean, it was really nice to just relax, not have any deadlines, not worry about anything, and to catch up on all my home chores and just do nothing. That was really the highlight of the holidays.
And snuggle the
cat. Oh yeah, I know. Esme is very, very happy to have me around for so long.
That's lovely.
Well, thanks so much for sharing, guys. Thank Daniel, you. Do we have any upcoming Voices updates?
Yeah, we do. Christmas was amazing. Thank you for everyone who showed up. And yeah, we all enjoy hosting you guys. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all our donors that support this party, because without you guys, it won't happen. And as we're getting back to office, we're running Empower You later this month. Our first one will be January 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. at 61 Juno Street, third floor. And my favorite thing for the year is coming up. It's called Urquhart Classic. If you haven't heard about this before, it is our annual hockey tournament between adult support workers and youth from care. Adults have been losing for 10 years, so we're trying to rebuild the Great Wall in front of the goalie. Yeah, you shall not passing me. We will have the details up very soon, so stay tuned if you're interested in joining the tournament.
Thanks so much, Danielle. Yes, Christmas was awesome. We were all there in attendance, and it is just so nice to see all the familiar and unfamiliar faces, and I really would not have wanted to spend Christmas any other way that day. Empower You, as always, we're always going to have a meal ready for you guys, and we're just going to hang out and do something fun. We'll probably have an educational program later on in the month, but for the 19th, it's just going to be a good time.
But we would love to see you there.
We would love to see you there. You can drop in. You can give us a call at 204-982-4956. You can email us at ask@voices.mb.ca. You can check out our socials on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Voices, M-Y-I-C-N. And, of course, you can always find us on the third floor of 61 Juno Street. That's going to take us into our rights highlight. What do we have today, Maiva?
Thank you, Mary. So today we have Article 10 of the UNCRC, which is the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of a Child. So Article 10 is applications by a child or his or her parents to enter or leave a state party for the purpose of family reunification shall be dealt with by state parties in a positive, humane, and expeditious manner. State parties shall further ensure that the submission of such a request shall entail no adverse consequences for the applicants and for the members of their family. If a child or their parent wants to move to another country so they can live together, governments must consider their request carefully and fairly. Governments must not delay the process or make it harder than necessary. If a child has a parent living in different countries, the child has the right to keep in touch with both parents through visits or communication. So now we have Article 10 of the UNDRIP, which is United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People. Indigenous peoples shall not be forcibly removed from their lands or territories. No relocation shall take place without the free, prior, and informed consent of the indigenous peoples concerned and after agreement on just and fair compensation and, where possible, with the option of return. So why are rights important? They protect people. They give people freedom. They promote equality. They support justice. They help build better communities. Rights are interconnected. Always remember your four B's. You have the right to be healthy, be safe, be heard, and be yourself.
Amazing. Thanks so much for sharing those articles with us, Maiva. That's going to take us into our first song break of the show. We have Someday by Roman Clark.
How much time do I have till I don't understand what it means to be young, what it means to be young? Tell me how far can I go till I can't answer no to that glorious sun, to that glorious sun.
Say one day you gotta wake up, one day you gotta make a lifestyle.
Welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. We have a community connection for you guys, and today we have Red Road Lodge. Red Road Lodge is located at 631 Main Street at Logan Avenue. Their studio drop-in hours are Tuesdays and Fridays from 12 to 4 p.m., or by appointment at 204-294-8670 extension 2. So what is Red Road Lodge all about? Well, they provide homes, hope, help, and healing, and real opportunity for change. Red Road Lodge offers a supportive and creative environment that contributes to long-term tenancies, addiction recovery, mental health, wellness, and employment reintegration. Their Resource Center programming provides respectful options for residents and neighbors to learn, earn, grow, and give back in a fulfilling manner. So a few things they offer is a furnished room with bedding and laundry services, a safe, secure facility with 24-hour on-site supervision, compassionate staff to assist with critical, urgent needs, and social service referrals. They offer addiction recovery programming 6 days per week, which include AA, CA, and 12-step study and sharing circles. They have computer and internet access. They have a resident kitchen with meals and snacks, clothing and personal hygiene products, EIA volunteer and employment opportunities, alternative arts, crafts, and cultural activities, and they are also a pet-friendly environment. So if this sounds like something that you are interested in or might be helpful, you can fill out an application through their website or you can give them a call. Again, that is at 204-294-8670, extension 2. Next up, I have a child welfare in the news segment. We have an article from the Winnipeg Free Press titled, Housing Changes at First Nations CFS Agency Leaves Residents in State of Panic. Sweeping changes to how one agency supports young people aging out of care have participants panicking about whether they'll have to camp or couch surf in the new year. Southeast Child and Family Services, which works with 8 First Nations in Manitoba, has a unit dedicated to preparing 15 to 21-year-olds for independent living by connecting them with community-based partners. Depending on their needs, teenagers and young adults living off-reserve are referred to supportive housing facilities such as Kildonan Commons and Villa Rosa. Multiple age of majority tenants told the Free Press their CFS social workers informed them this fall that they'd have to move out on their own by the end of 2025. Funding constraints were identified as the reason the residents 18 and older are being evicted, they said. The Manitoba Government and General Employees Union confirmed its members were alerted. Southeast CFS is changing how it supports young adults who've grown up in care. MGEU, which represents roughly 130 employees at Southeast, including intake and social workers, did not provide any further details. I don't know if I'm going to be homeless after December 31st, one tenant who is living at a residence with wraparound supports for young people told the Free Press. It's hard to find a place. It really is. I've been looking, I've been trying, I've been doing everything in my power to get my ball rolling. The resident said Southeast, which serves families in Brokenhead, Black River, Hollow Water, Bloodvein, Barron's River, Poplar River, Little Grand Rapids, and Pawangasi First Nations, gave them false hope by connecting them with a third-party organization that helped draft a now-irrelevant transition plan built around stable housing. The person noted the social worker assigned to their case has shared information with them about Winnipeg's shelter system and how to apply for employment and income assistance. The agency is expecting us to be at the bottom of society. They expect nothing from us, so we're going to become nothing, they said, describing feeling frozen in panic and dissociating with reality during the holiday season. Individuals affected by age of majority support changes are no longer wards of CFS, given they are adults by legal definition. They have entered voluntary contracts, known as extensions of care agreements, with Southeast to continue to receive assistance, including financial aid until they turn 21. The future of that funding is uncertain amid the changes. Their names and other identifying details are being withheld to protect their vulnerable status. Your 18th birthday present shouldn't be that you're on your own and all the supports you need to live a healthy lifestyle are gone, said Cindy Blackstock, Executive Director of First Nations Child and Family Caring Society of Canada. Blackstock said for many Indigenous youth across the country, reaching this milestone birthday means losing wraparound supports. A spokesperson for Families Ministers, Nahani Fontaine, said in a statement that the province is following up with the agency in question, and Indigenous Services Canada indicated it was looking into the changes Tuesday.
Thanks, Mary, for that. That was really enlightening and also just really depressing at the same time. I would say that it's probably, in my opinion, the biggest issue is youth aging out of care and what do they do next. Even people who have plenty of supports that are not in care struggle with the transition of becoming an adult and just new things in life that come with an adult. So I can't imagine how much harder it must be when all these services that are promised to you or most are supposed to happen just kind of get cut off like that. And it's also just interesting to see that it's a specific agency instead of just like everybody. So I can't imagine what these people are going through. And I'm really happy that Winnipeg Free Press wrote something about it, because it's just something that happens a lot. These youth from care are just struggling to make ends meet and transition out of, you know, the life that they had. So, yeah.
Thanks, Maiva. Yeah, it is. You know, it's always devastating to hear these stories, and it's definitely not the first time, you know, that we've heard that a youth is referred to a shelter or to EIA upon becoming an adult. You know, this time of our lives that's supposed to be so exciting and promising, you know, can be quite scary for a lot of youth leaving care. Mm-hmm. And one youth mentioned in the article that it is hard to find a place, and that they've been trying to do what they can to find stable housing. And I think it's important to acknowledge that it's not just as easy as filling out an application and having a home, is there are so many barriers to accessing housing when you're on EIA and you have a very, very limited budget to pay your rent, to feed yourself, to do all of these things. And that there is a gap, right? What are the youth going to do when they have to leave this home that they're in, you know? And there's so much that can happen during that period of time that can make it even harder in the future to find housing. I just think it's really important that we do see this as a problem, that just cutting a youth off at 18 or 21, it's not easy for them to just pick up where they left off without supports when they've been depending on supports for so long, and that it, you know, it's an infringement on rights ultimately.
Yeah, and it's another problem I'm just kind of thinking about as well, is that we do encourage youth in care to start a plan for when they age out of care. But even the concept of having to think so hard about what you're going to do when you turn 18 instead of just celebrating the fact that you're an adult is something really sad, because a lot of 15-year-olds don't have to develop a plan on how they're going to apply for EIA or how they're going to get housing, how they're going to do this, how they're going to do that. And I feel like that even is just so unfair. It's a good solution or a good way to help youth in care. Obviously, it's really good that we support them like that. But sometimes it's just like, man, it just feels bad, because like you shouldn't be stressing about all that at 14, 15 years old about what you're going to do at 18.
So. Yeah, worrying about how you're going to survive, exactly, right? Yeah. You should be living and thriving and enjoying your early adult years. But again, it's good that we cover this. This is what's going on, you know, in our city and with our youth from care. And, you know, however we can support the issue, we will. And of course, youth in and from care can know they can always come to Voices, and we will always do what we can to support you through these harder transitions. That's going to take us into our second song of the show. We have Sweet Soul Love by J.C. Campbell.
Touch, trying to make time stand still, 'cause it's never gonna be enough. Even when we close our eyes, drifting off to sleepy sleep, chances are we're dreaming dreams all about the ones we keep. I'm talking about sweet soul love. Let me hear you say sweet soul.
Don't be taking yourself. on the shelf.
Welcome back to System Kids. As we step into 2026, many of us are thinking about fresh starts, new goals, and paths that we want to take. And you guys want to know something interesting about January 1st is that it actually isn't the new year because of nature or the seasons. It doesn't line up with spring or longer days or anything changing in the natural world. The date was chosen a long time ago for practical reasons. In ancient Rome, January became the start of the year because that's when the leaders and government officials started their jobs. Think tax season. So over time, that calendar spread and January 1st just stuck. So before that, and even still today in many cultures, the new year actually begins in spring because that's when things start growing again, and that's when people saw real signs of new life and fresh starts. So when we talk about new beginnings, it's worth remembering that they don't have to happen on January 1st. New chapters can start any time. So when you find support, reach a goal, leave a tough situation, or decide to do things differently, that can be your own fresh start. That's what we want to explore today during our main segment. We want to talk about what starting fresh really means, especially for youth who may be navigating life in and from care. So it could be about growth, healing, setting intentions, or finding support. And of course, it doesn't have to wait for a calendar date. So to kick off this conversation, we put together some questions that we're going to be asking each other. And the first question is, what does New Year mean to you personally? Is it a date on the calendar or is it something deeper?
That's a good question. I would say that New Year is kind of both for me because it is just a date on the calendar. Like, nothing changes about life, really, like in terms of structure. But also, I feel like for me, it's not necessarily deep, but when I do set goals, I like to have a date in mind or like something to start off of. I'm not a person who can just kind of just go into it and be like, you know, I'm just going to start going to the gym today or eating better or being more positive with myself. It kind of helps if I like kind of hype it up to a certain date. Not necessarily January 1st either, just kind of in the new year in general. I like that idea.
I think new year for me, like, it feels like when you play Monopoly, after a long journey, you finally reach the goal, and it's like a restart, a reset. Because normally we have, like, the first day of the year off, right? And it's just, like, a time for you to, like, reflect and just take a moment for yourselves and think about what you want next or what you want, like, ahead of you. And I know many people, like, used to, like, make goals in New Year's, but I think nowadays I spend more time to reflect, like, look back the last years, and then, don't make crazy goals because, you know, like, every year we say the same thing and then it won't happen. So I think now, like, New Year's means to me is, like, yeah, just a retreat and then just restart.
that's
cool. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I think reflection is definitely one of the most important things that we can be doing. And January 1st kind of serves as a way to measure our year, to put it in a metric, to be like, okay, well, what was I up to exactly 1 year ago? And I agree with Daniel in reflecting on what went well and what could be better. But I tend to kind of signify the new year on my birthday because oh. I'm 1 year older, and I like to think that with every year, you know, that yeah. I'm gaining some experience or hopefully some wisdom or knowledge. And so I like to use, yeah, my birth date as that really super reflective time and, you know, who do I want to be at this new age that I am. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of always been my new year.
So this question can be for our listeners, whoever is listening, if you want to reflect on it with us. For any young people who've lived in care, what do you think makes a new beginning meaningful?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Because I like to think, you know, new beginnings don't have to happen on January 1st or when, you know, our culture and our society tells us this is the time for a fresh start or when to make these goals, is that we can really create the meaning in our new beginnings, and that's going to be different for everybody. But as a young person who grew up in care, I would say some of my most meaningful new beginnings really happened with, you know, important relationships, with creating that network of support around me that have made some of the biggest differences. And I mean, that could happen at any time of the year, or, you know, getting into school or getting your first apartment, you know, all of those things have been some of the most meaningful new beginnings definitely in my own life. I'm sure that some young people who have been in care can relate to that as well.
So guys, instead of traditional New Year resolutions, what intention or value are you choosing for 2026?
I think living with integrity. We're really putting integrity at the center of how I want to navigate the next year, and just, you know, doing things from the heart and doing things that, you know, are true to me, and kind of just drowning out all the other noise. I know we've mentioned on the show many times that we tend to be people pleasers, and I think just learning to, you know, say no when we need to, and yeah, to just stay true to myself is something that I want to practice better in the new year.
Yeah, those are really good, like, values and intentions. I agree with the saying no, people pleaser part of your resolutions, because yeah, me too. I think one of mine would be to be more sure of myself, I'd say, as I say, kind of unsure, but I would say that I need to be more sure of myself, and you know, if something doesn't feel right, be like my own self advocate in a way, and just really, yeah, let myself believe and be confident in what I feel. So that's one big one. And the other one I'd say, I really want to work on positive self-talk, or positive being positive to myself. That's one big thing I really want to work on, because it has been a struggle, but I've already felt really kind of excited to see what I can do with that resolution or intention this year. So
oh, that's beautiful. I really like those. What about you, Daniel?
Yeah, instead of like going to gyms like 10 times a week, I think I just want to keep it simple and reasonable. So I think one of the things I really want to do more intentionally is allocate more time with my dogs. Because although they enjoy their times without me, with or without me, but it's still nice like to allocate more of my time. Like just stay home, go for a walk, or just go see horses with them. Or chase some deers together in the wilderness. Yeah, just be with them. Because I guess, yeah, sometimes when you're very focused on chasing something else, let's say like career or education or relationship and things, sometimes maybe you allocate less time with your furry, like your babies. because they are my babies. Yeah, no judgment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, simple and make it, like, stable.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. That's very sweet. And, you know, that's... I feel like that hits home as well, because I often feel guilty when I'm not spending enough time with my cat, you know, and we can see how much our pets need us and appreciate us. So I think that's a really awesome goal, Daniel. All right. So as we mentioned earlier, if spring is a natural time for renewal, what might your personal spring start look like? What are you planting metaphorically for your future?
I'd say for me, since school in universities ends in spring, I'd say that's kind of like my, okay, I'm done with school for a bit, time to work full time. So it kind of feels like it is like a mini new year, like a midterm new year or something like that for me. And I feel like a lot of students can relate to that, where you kind of switch gears into working full time. You have time to travel if you want to travel. So for me, I'd say it's like the time for me to plan what my goals are for the summer. So just even small things of like what I want to do this summer. And yeah, just do things that I don't really have time to do during school.
Very nice. Yeah, those are very nice spring goals. I'm getting excited as you talk about it like that for summer. I agree with you, Maiva, that it is an exciting time because the spring semester ends, or winter semester ends, and spring starts. Unfortunately, I will be going to school in the summer, so my spring reset is going to be gearing up for another semester and planting the seeds of just making sure that I'm on top of everything. Mm-hmm. But that being said, if there's any, you know, season to do school in, like it being summer definitely makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be honest, for me, I have been graduated for years, right? And for me, this spring, actually, I would consider, like, my restart is getting, like, different trainings I want to be done. Mm-hmm. Those things that I postponed keep, like, just delaying. Yeah, I'm hoping to get some, like, yeah, training, like, specific training done in this summer or, like, starting from spring, that I'll be ready for, like, my next step of life, which is exciting.
That's super exciting, Daniel, and I think that is a really good timeline to kind of start planting those seeds of getting new training and getting ready for the next chapters of our life. It often feels like fall is really when a new chapter starts sometimes.
Yes.
Just because, you know, school's back up, the leaves are changing, so getting prepared over spring and summer really sets you up for that, you know, new school year term. Mm-hmm.
So for our next question, how do you celebrate progress and resilience, especially when plans don't go perfectly?
I really like this question because I have been putting a lot of thought into this idea of, you know, perfectionism and, you know, wanting things to go a certain way, and then we get disappointed when that doesn't happen, and that the real success tends to come from consistency rather than perfection. So I would say that celebrating progress and resilience, even when things don't go perfectly, is, you know, reflecting on, you know, a period of time, and how many times did things go right, or were things well done, or, you know, did you have moments of success, rather than looking at this ideal, you know, end goal of what you want it to look like. Just all those small victories, they add up, and, you know, they're going to eventually get you where you need to go, and just really paying attention to those small victory and those small wins. And yeah, just kind of taking, you know, your mind or eyes off of the end goal, I think is helpful. And to just be gentle with ourselves, because I have not met one person in this world who is perfect. Mm-hmm. So why would we expect that of ourselves, right?
Yeah, I guess it's easy for me, like to keep pushing yourself, like, even though, like, you already have, like, a ton of progress and, like, success. And I think it's a constant learning for me, like, to celebrate, like, what like, I can accomplish. And sometimes, like, it could be very simple, like, just go to a restaurant I like and relax for a bit, and or just get a bottle of beer, sit on the couch and relax and just enjoy and be satisfied of what I achieved. But yeah, I guess it's just some small step, and just treat myself well.
Mm-hmm. Treat yourself well along the journey.
Yeah,
I'd say it's just, yeah, like, it's good to be celebrate small victories with journeys, and also just not being hard on yourself, like we said. I think also just being proud of you as well, and like your uniqueness, I guess, is during the journey that you're doing. You know, it's really easy, especially with social media, to compare. And like, I'm thinking about like weight loss journeys and gym journeys. Like, a lot of people really don't celebrate their progress until they're at a certain point because they don't feel like they're doing good enough. But it's really important to remember it is a journey. And like most journeys, they don't go perfectly. Like, you don't just, you know, necessarily arrive at the end goal without any bumps and stuff like that. It doesn't mean that you're failing necessarily. So I'd say that that's how I would celebrate it. Just kind of focusing on myself and not really comparing to anybody else.
Yeah, very nice. Thanks so much for sharing, guys. That is going to take us to the end of our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be back on at the same time next week, and we're going to be discussing wellness. So that means mental, physical, spiritual, all of the important aspects of our lives that, you know, keep us well. So stay tuned for that if you're interested, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Blade in the backyard, where we stood tall, carefree and innocent, a problem so small. Whole towns dressed in their darkest and flowers in their hands. Whole room forced to silence as tears begin to dance. Your sister stands at the front, but I'm sure you can see her. I buried my brother today, without smiling anyway. Yeah, I'll smile anyway. We'll be right back. regret today. I sing hallelujah in the rain. I sing hallelujah in the rain. I sing hallelujah.
Oh, listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.
Support for CKUW is provided by the West End Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tune-in program runs Tuesdays at the West End Cultural Center, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for youth ages 12 to 18.
Hi, my name's Joan Reno. I'm the host of Sunny Road every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11. From a dimly lit juke joint to a country field and everything in between, meet me on the Sunny Road. It's time, meet me
on the Sunny Road. Please enjoy 30 Seconds of Nature, brought to you by Ducks Unlimited Canada. Learn how you can experience nature in your community at ducks.ca.